All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is, August 16th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is beautiful wherever you are at. Definitely, it is the 16th, so we're about halfway through the month of August, and I'm about ready, right? I am about ready for summer to start to wind down, right? Happens every year. The traffic gets so bad, it's like I give. Fine, I give. You got me. Arm behind my back twisted, I give. Fine, summer can end. You know, July and August usually start to peak. You know, everybody gets in their, their last vacations and all that. And yeah, the grass looks bad. The flowers are struggling. The trees are, you know, everybody's having, everybody's ready to wrap the summer up, I think. And, but we did go out this morning and do some paddling. It was fun. A little rough. Yeah, whatever. It is whatever, right? Just get out and do something, right? Partake in an activity, right? That's hopefully helps our health and mentally helps us out as well. It was good. We did the OC1s, which are the one-seaters this morning. Still not comfortable in that thing, man, that rascal. It is, it's sketchy. And I don't know, really. I mean, sometimes I think if I just keep working at it, it'll get unsketchy or less sketchy. But, oh, man, it was sketchy this morning. The water was sort of rough. And I just get so worried about flipping, Julian, right? And so what happens is I just tend to lean to the left and my lower back is crying. And I told Dave today, I go, I don't know if I can do this one anymore. I don't know. But I also, you know, where's that coming from, right? Where is that idea, that decision, that thought, right, that voice coming from? You know, do I need to start paying attention to this? You know, is this a lower power trying to talk me out of doing something that I enjoy, right? Separating me from something that, you know, hopefully is creating some humility, right? It is suffering. There is a struggle. I could make a list of a few reasons why I wouldn't want to do it, right? You know, it's hard, right? You got to get up early. You're out in the ocean. We did practice some hoolie drills today, which are always exciting. And a hoolie drill is when the whatever you're in flips over, right? You know, if it's a one person, you know, it's you're on your own out there. But when it's in the big canoe with the six people, you know, it flips sometimes. We flipped. Obviously, I told you all. Lost my phone and stuff. That was a hooli, right? We flipped. That was not a drill. That was actual flippage. And, you know, when six people flip over in a boat, you need a plan. And so we've been practicing. We've been practicing every week. And today was no different. We get halfway. We take the boat down the coast there, and we pull it up on the beach. And today the wind, the ocean was pretty rough. It was coming out of the northeast. Right, so it was coming sort of at an angle, right? It's not coming straight down from the north. It's coming from the ocean and from the north. So the waves are sort of crashing into the beach at an angle. And, you know, you can get stuck between the waves and the beach, and it can just get real messy. But, you know, I think it's kind of fun. I do. I think it's fun. We get out there, the boat flip. We flip the boat, and then everybody has a role, right? And so we just keep practicing this. And, you know, it went really smooth today. Boat flip back over. We got everybody in. The hardest part of flipping when a boat flips is getting back in. I mean, it is brutal. And it's this like skinny fiberglass canoe, and it is hard to freaking get in, especially if you have no, if you're not touching, right? If you're in deep water and you're just kind of holding on, and then you got to actually lift yourself with your upper body out of the water into the canoe, it's tough. I mean, it's very tough. In fact, I feel like I have like one, if maybe two shots. And the worst part is you really have to determine what part of your body you're going to be hurting, because something is going to hurt during this exercise. And, you know, you can either lift yourself up and just throw your body in, right? Chest first. So your chest is going to crash against the other outside edge of the cockpit. Or you can try to get one cheek of your butt in, and you know how that works. That's never going to feel comfortable. Or you can just sort of throw yourself in on your side, which I did last week, and bruised up my ribs. So, yeah, it's not fun. And, you know, we're with a bunch of people, and this one lady's like, my husband does not like me coming home with bruises. And I'm like, I get it, right? I definitely understand. But at some point, you or I have to figure out what's going to hurt, because there is no easy. It's not like this nice set of steps comes down the side of the boat and you walk up the steps. And, of course, you know, they have, I guess, over the years, tried to figure out different ways to make this easier. And one of the boats, we have a rope with almost like it's like a rope that comes out of the boat with almost like a hoop. But in the hoop is like a piece of PVC pipe, so it kind of straightens it out. So it's kind of like a step, almost like a one-step rope ladder. That ain't easy either. There is no easy way. That's why we keep practicing. And but today was fun. We got in. It all worked out. We started, you know, you do it enough times, right? You start to build up new habits. It's a lot like recovery, right? You know, you come across situations where in the past you might have been like, oh, my God, what do I do here? But now, you know, with some time and putting some history into your recovery, you start to have, you know, when something's going on, you're like, hey, this is uncomfortable. I need to go, or, you know, same sort of thing. You just get into some habits. And when times are tough, man, you got to reach out and help the other people for sure. The Police. You know, I forget about The Police, right? Police are awesome. What a great band. I think they reached such a plateau at some point that I just sort of got stuck in a few of, like, especially when, like, Sting left the band, these hits that just keep hitting, right? They're just always around, and I sort of kind of put the band into one sort of category, and really, their early stuff, I mean, The Police are awesome. So, yeah, great band. Go check out some old Police, man. But yeah, it is, you know, one of the things that I'm working on, or not, I guess continue to work on, always a situation is, you know, sometimes, like, and I don't know if this happens to everybody or just me, I'm sure some few people suffer from this, but, you know, I'll agree to something, like, I'm cool with it, and then as it starts to kind of play out, I find that I'm not so happy about it, right? This happens all the time. You know, I'll do, you know, whether it's paddling, you know, relationships, working, right? You know, but someone will say, you know, I couldn't get on your book. And I say, listen, man, if you ever need to call me, right? Give me a text and I'll find a spot for you. No problem. And then all of a sudden somebody calls and texts me, hey, I can't get in. I'm like, right? Like, all of a sudden, I'm annoyed, right? And I'm the one that suggested that they do this. And it happens all the time. And it's really, I don't know, I'm not sure what to do, right? Because, I mean, if I was to say, don't call me, right? Like, it just seems to pop up all the time. It happens in my relationship, you know, one of the challenging things that our family is going through is that we are a one-income family. You know, my wife stays home. I'm on board with it, right? I agree. I love it. I talk about it all the time. But man, you know, sometimes I get a little critical or judgmental of how my wife spends money, right? All of a sudden, like, I don't know, man. It's a tough situation. And it just happens. It comes at me sometimes out of the blue. And, you know, if I'm making an agreement to do something, that means I'm agreeing to all that comes along with it. And what I'm saying is when I agree that we are going to be a one-income family, that means that we're going to, you know, we're going to have to cut back on things, right? We just don't have the money that we used to have, right? But I also have to agree that my wife's going to spend money and I have to be cool with it. I mean, that's her job, is to be at home. And sometimes, you know, they're going to, like tonight or this morning, she took the kids to Dunkin' Donuts. And I'm like, really? I mean, is this what we need to do, right? All of a sudden, you know, and it talks about it in the book, I'm becoming a bit of a money miser. And I don't understand. I've never had money, right? I mean, every bit of money I've had to work for, and if I didn't work for it, my parents were, you know, subsidizing me. So I've never been well off. I've never had it like that. It's always, you know, I made choices early on in my life that would decide what sort of financial status I would have, right? And I guess I could have at some point even dug myself out of the hole that I dug myself in earlier and climbed the ladder and got to a point where maybe I could still make a ton of money. But I just never really cared, right? I like to have money. I want to survive. I like to live. I like to pay the bills. But do I need to go on vacation 3 times a year? Do I need to go on cruises? I really don't. I just have never really been that much into money. But it scares the fuck out of me. It scares the fuck out of me. And I can't figure out why. I can't figure out why. Because I don't know if early on, and I probably talked about this at some point, if I somehow created the value of me to the value or compare, like, I'm only as good as the money I make, right? Maybe somehow I implanted that thought in my mind, right? And if I don't make a lot of money, I'm just not that good. You know, I've talked in the past about how, you know, I've never slept under a bridge. I've never been homeless, right? I've never had to file for bankruptcy. You know, this past couple months, you know, and I've shared all about it, right? It's all out there, right? You know, people leaving. You know, I shared the other day, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, you know, I really should have let one of these people go earlier, you know, but I got so, I wanted that rent money, right? At any cost, right? And the people that have worked for me, I love them. They're always great. But we all go through things, right? We all go through times in our life where we're tough. And sometimes we have to make changes. And, you know, when someone's going through tough times, I'm like, hey, you do chair rental, none of my business, just pay your rent. But during the whole process, you know, there was a lot of struggling on people's parts, and I was having to have conversations and make excuses for other people, and I just should have never done that, right? But I did it for the money, right? I did it for that rent money. And then the person, of course, doesn't show up, the rent bounces, and now I literally have nobody working there, and it's one of those moments, really. It's a come to Jesus moment. I really needed to take a hard look. You know, because when I get comfortable, I get lazy in certain things, right? But when I got my freaking nose to the grindstone with my ears to the rail, right, when I'm listening and I'm paying attention again, you know, I can usually get it all cleaned up. But in the last year, everything's been fine. People have been paying rent. Money's been fine. Haven't really had to worry about it. But in the last month, man, I had to take a hard look at it. And I had to figure out the part that I played. One of them was, the first one was, allowing someone to continue to work at the place when they're really having a hard time. I should have said, listen, why don't you take the month off, right? Figure out what's going on. Get yourself together. And then come back next month and see if we can start over. Or, to, you know, figure out a plan. But to let somebody sort of struggle and struggle and struggle. And, you know, I'm always available if someone needs help. And I had mentioned a couple times, hey, you know, do you need anything from me, right? Is there something that I can do to help? And, you know, the person's like, I don't want to talk about it. And I'm like, I understand that. It isn't any of my business. I just want you to know if you need something from me, I'm here, right? And they appreciated that. And I am not mad at the person that left. She's a really great person. I'm sad, you know, because it's lonely now in the salon. These people that work with me, they're fun, right? And we have great conversations, and there's a vibe in the salon, and now it's very quiet. And this has happened before. It's fine. In fact, somebody asked me yesterday if I was actively looking to get somebody in the salon. I said, I'm really not. I'm just actively focusing on me and trying to understand how I got myself in this situation again. And, you know, I've talked about it before. I've been suffering from procrastination, not wanting to go check the mail, sticking my head in the sand. And this is all like, you know, I'll celebrate 15 years this year. You know, this is all rookie behavior, right? I've been doing this long enough. I'm completely aware of this, and to still continue to get caught up in it is really, it's a bummer. So what I am doing, right, is trying to take a hard look at myself, right? And, you know, and just becoming accountable, right? And like I said, I should have said, hey, listen, why don't you take a month off, get yourself together, don't worry about the salon. I should have done that. You know, I should have put the money aside and said, listen, take care of yourself, right? I remember when the pandemic hit and there were some people working for me, and I told them, hey, don't worry about the rent, man. Make sure you can eat, right, and pay your bills. And, you know, get through it and then pay the rent later. And they did, you know, they gave him parts and pieces and it was fine. I'm not one of those, you know, guys. But, you know, I'll do sometimes get myself in situations for the money when I know I probably shouldn't have. And so this month is really about finding me again, getting the salon back in order, getting my finances back in order, right? I got to, you know, pay off some stuff, stop paying on some stuff, stop putting money on certain things, start focusing on other things. I just was looking at the computer at the bank account, and the money in the salon starting to go back up again, right? I am responsible for all of this. And because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, man, if these fucking people hadn't left, right, I'd be fine, right? I play a role in all the things that go on in my life, and one of the things that's going on right now is that I'm agreeing, I'm saying yes, no problem, where inside I might have a problem, and maybe inside I wish I had said no, right? Maybe it's more to it than I'm allowing, and this happens a lot, you know, and then I'll say, yeah, no problem, no big deal, and then when it does come up, I have an issue with it. But then I can't figure out, like, if I was to just be honest and say, you know what, I don't think I want to do that. Then that would kind of be shitty too. I don't know. Maybe I didn't eat enough. Maybe I needed some breakfast or lunch or some water or something. Maybe something's off. I don't know. It's just, you know, as I get older at 54, I just, you know, you see more, you hear more, more things become clear. You start to realize, you know, what this world seems to be really about. And you just sort of, I don't know, I just sort of lose the gleam in my eye, and I just need to find it, because you know what, man, I am sober, super grateful, have any, you know, I have more to offer this world than I would have ever had to offer earlier in my sobriety, right? I'm a worker amongst workers, right? I show up, you know, there was a client at the salon the other day that we were talking about my old sponsor Matt, and you know, Matt was, one of the things Matt used to love to say, and I don't know if I said this in another podcast the other day, but he used to say, you know, this program, he used an example because my old sponsor won the James Beard Humanitarian of the Year Award, and I don't know if it was in 2006, maybe 2006, I don't know the exact year, but he won the James Beard Humanitarian of the Year Award. And he was just a great guy, man. He just did so much. But he had this acceptance speech. And in the acceptance speech, he talks about how the industry, the restaurant industry, because, you know, he struggled early on in life with, you know, addiction and different things, just like the rest of us, right? And, you know, he ended up in a situation where it was time to really make an adjustment. And he ended up down at the beach working in a restaurant, washing dishes, right, cutting vegetables. And he said the restaurant industry took him in and loved him until he could learn to love himself. And I used to always be like, wow, that's crazy. Like, do I not love myself? Right? I don't know. And so, but I remember always thinking about that. And so I was showing this person this video and it reminded me, you know, this program, you know, recovery did that for me, you know, brought me in, loved me, until I could learn to love myself. And I think, well, what does that even mean? What is it? Because, you know, on paper, loving ourselves could actually be bad, right? I mean, there is a name for that, right? When we're so in love with ourselves. I don't think that's what they're meaning. But what I think they're meaning is that when we can stop being afraid, right? When can I stop being afraid? And what am I afraid of? You know, early on it was drinking, right? Early on it was drinking. And I even say that, and I'm not even sure that I was that afraid. I had this miracle take place when I got punched in the mouth in 1997. It knocked that fucking desire to drink right out of me. You know, ego, devastation, complete humiliation. When that happened, I had lost the desire to drink. Luckily, at the time, someone was there to scoop me up and surround me with people in a program that loved me until I can learn to love myself. And I'm still, and what I've learned in over the years that I've been doing this program is that working these steps, working with a sponsor, working with others, you know, continuing to go to meetings, sponsoring people, you know, the one thing I learned is that I am full of fear, right? And when I'm full of fear, it's hard to love myself, right? Because I'm sort of focused on self. Fear, what am I not getting? What's happening to me? And when I'm that way, I'm sort of a victim. And I'm not sure what I'm a victim of, right? But I'm sort of like I'm scared and I don't know what to do, right? I'm just, I need help. And but the steps and working the steps. And so, you know, went to the meeting this week and we did the fourth step. And the fourth step is that moral inventory, right? And that moral inventory, I think, is really where we start recognizing who we are, right? And, you know, I've talked about it before. I'll say it again, the Mr. Jones story. And it talks about how Mr. Jones, or how the neighbor hated Mr. Jones. And he was like, I hate him. And he's like, well, why? And he goes, I don't know. I just hate him. That was me, right? And that was all based in fear, right? You see someone doing better than you. All of a sudden you have fear, like, how come I can't get that to be that good? Why can I never be that, you know, great? And you become a victim of our own. I had become a victim of my own behavior, my early behavior, things I did in my life, which led me to the place where I was at. And just like in the Mr. Jones story, he says, well, why do you hate him? He goes, I don't know. And he goes, well, you know, he does have a better car, right? He does have a prettier wife and he does have a better job. He makes more money. So I hate him. And, you know, in the story, and if I'm fucking it up, I'm sorry. Fire me. But in the story, he says, you know, that's fine. But, you know, you need to understand why you hate him, right? And you also need to understand why you aren't getting the same things as Mr. Jones. At least that's sort of how I took it, you know, because I can be a victim of all that shit, right? And especially coming into the program, I mean, I'm literally... You know, I've gone from being a drunk every day to all of a sudden not drinking every day and all of a sudden trying to figure out who I am. And these steps are great at doing that, really. It just allows us to start to learn about ourselves, and the fourth step is one of them. And, you know, and I had to look back and say, you know, I made choices. I can remember one day when I was in high school, I said, I think I'd rather ditch than go to school, right? And I did that a lot. I made that choice a lot. And so in turn, it made my education very, very shoddy. Which in turn, you know, I ended up getting a GED, you know, I did not go to college. And so in turn, I got what I got, right? I am a blue collar worker, right? I work on golf courses. I dig ditches. I am that guy. I work at Arby's, right? Maybe not McDonald's, but you know, my first job was at Arby's. I worked at Taco Bell. I dug ditches. I cut grass. I am that guy that they've warned you about. If you don't go to school, you're going to be Tom, really. And so that's what was me, right? But until I can understand how I got to where I'm at, all I am is a victim of it. And so the fourth step starts to teach us, right? And we start to understand, you know, okay, listen, I can always try to do things and try to improve my situation, right? But certain facts are the facts, and the facts are that I didn't do very well in school, and so that, you know, I didn't have a college education, and obviously, you know, so on and so forth. So what I think that means is when when a program loves you until you could learn to love yourself, or at least I could learn to love myself, I think that means, for me at least, is when I could start removing all of the fear. Right? I believe every morning I wake up and it's all love. It's all good. It's all God. It's great. God is good. God is great. Love. Right? And then the alarm goes off. Then the fear starts. Right? And when I have fear, I let go of the hand of God. And it's just, and I've said this 1,000 times, right? So forgive me, but it's pretty basic, right? Get consumed in self. You're not going to be having a relationship with a higher power, right? You're having a relationship with a lower power. And, you know, and these steps teach us that, you know, what are you afraid of, right? Right? What is it that you're afraid of? How, what part did I play in it, right? What do I have to do to not repeat this, right? Go to meetings, work with a sponsor, don't pick up a drink, right? Sponsor people, have conversations, be a part of a group, take commitments, right? Service saves us. You know, what are the things that I can do? These are the things, right? As long as I'm doing the things that I'm doing, going to meetings, working with others, I am not afraid of drinking, right? I'm not afraid. Because honestly, I've been through that too, right? I know exactly what I have to do. I have to go to meetings. I have to ignore that voice, right? The voice. But the latest one is that, you know, I'm recognizing that I'm agreeing to doing things, and then in the end, I don't agree to it as much as I thought I did. And that's my fault. And so I'm trying to figure out, and I guess if there's fear in there, what's the fear of people being upset at me if I said no? Right? People being mad at me, people not liking me, people not inviting me, right? I don't know. It's a trip, man. It's a trippy place. It seems to be biting me in the ass a lot. And I just have to keep working on it, you know, but, you know, maybe saying it out loud, you know, I can't agree to a situation and then, you know, a week later be annoyed by it, right? I just have to figure it out. And like I said, you know, today, my fear is about money, right? You know, and I told my wife, do whatever you want. Spend it all. I don't care, right? Spend it all. And all she did was take the kids to the freaking Dunkin' Donuts, you know? And I love that. I love that. But I guess for some reason, I just was being a baby. King baby. And that ain't cool. All right, let me see. Yeah, I got more work to do. I'm still fucking nuts. Lots of work to do. But we'll keep trying. Let's see. Daily reflection. Watch. Let's see if this talks about this. I would be. Okay, here we go. August 16th. I had dropped out. And I just got to say, because sometimes I listen to this podcast just to hear it. I don't read these very well, and I apologize. I know how to read. I think I want to read it properly, right? And I don't want to fuck it up, so I just get too stressed out about it. So I always suggest, you know, make sure. I love to read the daily reflections every day. I think I went to a meeting the other night and spoke, and there was another book, this little black book. It had like a daily reflections. It had a prayer. It had a lot of cool stuff. I might want to get that book. It was really cool. But let's see. I apologize if I don't read these correctly. I hope everyone that, you know, listens to me fuck these up goes home and sits and reads them personally, right? But here we go. All right. We might ask, well, see, I already fucked up. We might next ask ourselves what we mean when we say that we have harmed other people. What kinds of harm do people do one another anyway? To define the word harm in a practical way, we might call it the result of instincts and collision, which causes physical and mental, emotional, and spiritual damage to people. We might call it the result of instincts in collision. Instincts in collision. I've never heard that. Which cause physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual damage to people. Instincts in collision. I've never freaking heard that. Is that what's happening to me? Am I having an instinct in collision? Collision. C-O-L-L-I-S-I-O-N. Collision. It's not collusion, is it? Instincts in collision. Collusion. Sorry. Anyway, here we go. That's the 12 steps, 12 traditions. I had been To the eight-step meetings, always thinking I really haven't harmed many people, mostly myself. But the time came when I wrote my list out, and it was not as short as I thought it would be. I either liked you, disliked you, or needed something from you. It was that simple. People hadn't done what I wanted them to do, and intimate relationships were out of hand because of my partner's unreasonable demands. Were these sins of omission? Because of my drinking, I had dropped out, never sending cards, returning calls, being there for other people, or taking part in their lives. What a grace it has been to look at these relationships to make my involvement in quite alone with God of my understanding and to go forth daily with a willingness to be honest and forthright in my relationships. Yeah. Sins of omission. Because of my drinking, I had dropped out, never sending cards, returning calls, or being there for other people or taking part in their lives. What a grace it has been to look at these relationships, to make my inventories in quite alone with God of my understanding, and to go forth daily with the willingness to be honest and forthright in my relationships. That's right. Yeah, you know, it's, yeah, I've already gone long, but, you know, there is each step in this process, I feel like relieves a little bit more fear. Right. I love how, and I've talked about, I sort of shared about this, you know, that eighth step. I didn't really feel like I'd harm any people either until I made the list of all the people that had harmed me, right? And it turns out that I was involved in all of those situations. So, yeah, man, that's good stuff. Anyway, I am, you know, I'm just a human doing the best I can, right? One day at a time, stay in the day, don't drink, go to a meeting. I am going to a meeting tonight, looking forward to that. Probably need to call my wife and apologize for being such a douchebag. Yeah. I'll work on that. Later. Now no one's knocked upon my door for 1,000 years or more. All made up and nowhere to go. Welcome to this one night show. Just take a seat, they're always free. No surprise, no mystery. In this theater,